Italian Wine Podcast. Chin Chin with Italian Wine People.
This podcast is brought to you by Lux Wines, importer of fine wines, bringing you exceptional wines from esteemed winemaking families Allegrini, Argiano, Yerman, Pieropan, Poggio al Tesoro, Renato Ratti, and Tornatore. Find out more at luxwines.com.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Walden. My guest today is Barbara Widmer of the Brancaia Winery in Chianti Classico. Welcome, Barbara.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it won't last long, don't worry. We won't be here long.
No.
Thanks, Barbara. That was a great interview.
That's cool.
Really, you know Chianti Classico in 4 nanoseconds. Really impressed. Have a nice journey. Okay, so tell me a little about the history of Brancaia. It's your family winery.
Brancaia is owned by my family. Maybe you can hear it, you can't see it, but it doesn't look and sound very Italian. I'm Swiss. I grew up in Zurich, and a bit more than 40 years ago, my parents had the great idea to go to Tuscany for Christmas holiday. And you may can imagine it was easy for them to fall in love with the region, with the people, and of course also with the food and wine. So during this Christmas holiday, they created the wish and the dream to have a holiday house in Tuscany, a holiday house, not the winery. And so they looked around, they found a house on a soft hill, and around this hill there were some acres of vineyards, and instead of just having a holiday house, they became the proud owner of a small winery.
Which comune or commune are we talking about in Chianti Classico?
Brancaia belongs to Castellina in Chianti.
Castellina in Chianti. Yeah. So that is which part of Chianti Classico? In the west, east, north, south?
That's really pretty much between Florence and Siena in the middle. It's slightly closer to Siena. So just to give you an idea, by car it would be like 40 minutes a car drive from Florence and 30 from Siena.
Okay, your parents still around?
They are still around, but they never ever really became winemakers. So it was for them a very interesting and serious hobby, but the hobby. And the hobby just increased more and more. And more than 25 years ago, I decided myself to study winemaking and moved to Tuscany a bit more than 20 years ago. So
where did you study winemaking then?
I studied in Switzerland.
Okay, and so you're an oenologist?
I am.
And do you work for, obviously, you work for the family winery, but do you work for other wineries as well?
Only as a small stage before my studies. So I was for 1 year in the French part of Switzerland, and I worked there. But after university, I moved to Tuscany and I took over the production of the family estate.
So what was your first vintage with you in charge?
98.
And be honest, how long did you think your first vintage, you got it right immediately, or was there like a period of you, a growing period, a learning period where you got more and more comfortable with both with the estate and the winemaking, the whole thing?
Well, first of all, I do believe that winemaking is always a learning process, so there's always something to learn and to improve. But it goes without saying, as more vintages you have, more experience you have, more ideas, and you feel more comfortable with the decisions you have to take, because you have to take a lot of decisions. Very often you don't have so much time to rethink and reanalyze. So it's important and crucial to study winemaking, but it's important and crucial to believe in what you feel. So a lot of decisions we are taking are stomach decisions. That's also why I may would call, especially if you want to make high quality wine, it's more philosophy than science.
Okay, let's run through your Chianti Classico range. What wines have you got? What are they called?
We have, as Chianti Classico, we have a Chianti Classico Annata and we have a Riserva.
So they're both called just Brancaia, basically?
Yeah, our label is always the same. So you have a square, and in the middle of the square you have the name of the winery, and then we just add subtitles if you want so. And with the Chianti Classico Annata and the Riserva, we want actually to show you the two extreme you can do today in the Chianti Classico region.
So is the blend the same? Is it always 100% Sangiovese, or is it Sangiovese with Tuscan grapes or Bordeaux grapes, for
it's
example?
It's the Annata, so the, let's say, entry level Chianti Classico. It's 100% Sangiovese, so that's quite new actually in the Chianti Classico Chianti Classico traditionally was always a blend, and today you can make 100% Sangiovese and call it Chianti Classico. And it's this wine is without oak, so it's very fresh, very fruit driven, straightforward, only Sangiovese, and it matures in concrete and stainless steel. Totally the opposite to our Riserva, where we want to show the complexity and the elegance of the Sangiovese. So the Riserva, we do 80% Sangiovese, which is today the minimum of what you need in a Chianti Classico, and we add a 20% Merlot. And it ages actually for 60 months in small barrels. So we go from one very clean, fresh, fruity wine to a very complex and full body wine.
But your wine, even though it is quote oaky, it's not like over oaked, it's integrated.
That's Brancaia style. We always are keen to find a well balance, so nothing should be dominated. And especially the Sangiovese, if I do compare a bit how we worked in the previous year, we used for the Sangiovese, or for all our wines, barrique, which are the smallest, let's say, wood barrels. And today we mainly use Tonneau, which is still very small. I'm bad in gallons, but in liters, a barrique is 225 liters and the Tonneau is 500 liters. So Tonneau is a bit more than the double, small, but it really gives, from my point of view, the right shape for Sangiovese. You will want to add something, you don't want to kill something.
Sure. So that trend of maybe toning down the oak slightly is kind of apparent in Chianti Classico, and the fact that you touched on the fact that you make 100% Sangiovese as well, that also seems to be a trend in Chianti Classico. Do you think that's good or unambitious or too traditional?
You know, winemaking in the most wine region, from my point of view, is something quite modern. We are actually in a very exciting moment of the world. We can bring outstanding wines from all over the world, which was not common 40 years ago. So whatever we have today in a bottle or in a glass in front of us is something quite new. It's true that the Chianti Classico as a region is a very old wine region with a very old wine tradition. But the wine tradition in this region, as in most of the other wine region, was producing an easy, everyday wine, which was not supposed to be elegant and complex, and was not supposed to age for 20 or 30 years. So most wines we do have today are not in a classical way old-fashioned. They are modern because they are clean, they are done with ripe grapes, without failures. So for me, the focus is doing a wine with the perfect ripe grape, which matures at the spot where I am in the best possible way. And there it's crucial to respect and understand nature.
So in terms, let's talk about food and wine, that's okay. Mm-hmm. What are some suggestions with your Swiss hat on and then with your Tuscan hat on for Chianti Classico, maybe 100% Sangiovese Chianti Classico?
With our Chianti Classico 100% Sangiovese, you have a slightly higher acidity. Besides that, Brancaia wines do have always a clear acidity. I think acidity is important for a wine. It gives a backbone, and I personally enjoy wine always with some food, even if it's just a piece of cheese. And to have a perfect fit food, you need some acidity. But anyhow, Donato does have a little bit more acidity. It's a bit fresher. So in the summer, you also can actually drink it a bit cooler. And as it is so fresh and light, it goes with the tomato sauce pasta, as with also a grilled fish, actually. It goes very well with many dishes, easy drinking, and as I just mentioned, easily also a bit cooler than what may a sommelier would recommend.
Sangiovese with grilled fish, that's a good one. And for the Riserva?
Riserva is more complex, more deeper. So for me personally, already a bit more an evening wine than probably a lunch wine. My favorite fit would probably be a Bistecca. But there are wines which are very strongly linked to the terroir, so to the region, but they go easily with all kind of food. So you don't really need to make Italian food if you're not feel like.
Sure. What plans have you got for the future as a family?
Well, one focus we have since the beginning is never ever making any kind of compromise in quality. In the meanwhile, I was happy enough to find out that this rule goes extremely well with the maximum respect to nature. So all our wines are natural fermentation, and so we have a lot of tiny and bigger steps to improve this, and we will follow this. As a mother of two teenagers, it goes without saying that I will hope that this business will remain in our family.
Okay, that's quite a strong statement. Not easy though, is it, to keep it in the family? Do your kids get on with each other?
So far.
Yeah, how old are they?
They are 15 and 17.
That's interesting. Mine's 10. We only got one, so it's difficult with that sort of family relationship. Well, let's hope it does stay in the family.
Now, I have also two brothers with kids, so we are convinced that it would be great if this is part of our family. But you need luck, and they have to take their own decision. Winemaking is a beautiful job. It's a challenging job, but it's also a tough job, and it's not romantic. It's really a lot of work, and whoever is doing it needs to be convinced that this is what she or he wants to do.
What was the biggest lesson your father Bruno taught you?
Believe in yourself.
As a human or as a woman in wine? There is a bit of a difference, isn't there?
I think he taught me this as a person. You know, I grew up in Switzerland. I have two older brothers, and my father always showed me that I can do whatever I want to do. So today that seems probably totally normal. At that time, I would say he was probably quite modern, so there was never ever discussion if I can do something or I have to do something different, and he supported me in everything all the time, so I never had the feeling that I don't have the same options as my brothers.
Great, that's pretty far forward thinking, I guess.
Yeah,
that's cool, and that's a nice little family note to end on. I want to say thanks to my guest today, Barbara Widmer, CEO of Brancaia. Yes, as we're corporate, doesn't it? I just say Barbara Widmer from the Widmer family of Brancaia in Chianti Classico. Thanks very much for coming on the Italian Wine Podcast.
Moti, thank you for having me.
It won't happen again.
Why not? Probably next time in Tuscany at the wine estate.
Yeah, no, I should come and visit you, actually.
Yeah. We like having people at the estate.
Do you know one of the photos that I most come across is a picture of you with your arms outstretched and your chin on your wrist,
okay.
I think. I think I've seen that more times in more places across the world than any other wine picture.
Okay,
honestly.
Okay.
It's striking. I mean, you're a very striking lady.
To the photograph.
No, you're a striking lady. And I just, I don't know why that picture seems to follow me wherever I go. So I kind of, like the night before, last night, I was going to interview Barbara tomorrow, and I just had this picture in my mind. I thought, now what am I going to say? You know, am I going to be completely phased out by you? And in fact, it's all gone, I think, like a dream. I mean, our audiences will probably drop for this podcast as I'm waffling on as usual, but no, it's lovely to see you.
It's great being here.
And I hope to see you in Chianti Classico.
Yeah, you should come.
Thanks,
it's a great place to go and to visit.
Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you.
This podcast has been brought to you by Lux Wines, importer of fine wines, bringing you exceptional wines from esteemed winemaking families: Allegrini, Argiano, Yerman, Piero Pan, Poggio al Tesoro, Renato Ratti, and Tornatore. Find out more at luxwines.com.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.